Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who believes in ghosts? For some, it takes a compelling supernatural experience and almost flips a switch in one's mind, confirming that the unimaginable is in fact possible. For others, belief in ghosts is simply a fact of life, a force to be respected and believed. Today, we hear the story of a skeptic turned believer onto the world of ghosts.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can email your audio file. Just go to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and send us your story that way as well. We would love to hear it. If you want to keep us on the air, support the show, and get bonus episodes, get the brand new ones we put out every single week. They're called EPP bonus episodes, Extra Podcast Person. That's what EPP stands for. It's filled with our best stories. You can sign up at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to those and advanced episodes of the show, the regular episodes, which are commercial free, by the way. So if you want to get everything in kind of all one convenient place, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or Patreon. If you like Patreon, that's a great platform too for getting bonus material. You get all the bonus stuff, all the advanced stuff right there on your own feed, right through the Patreon app. At patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month in either place, and that's what helps support this pirate ship and keeps it on the air. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm ready for trick-or-treating.
I am too.
I literally have my makeup on, and I'm ready to go. Just thought I'd put it on a couple of weeks in advance. And
okay.
All set. Do you think I can ever convince Harp to be a zombie again?
No, because that latex stuff irritated her skin. She's like, that hurt me. She's never forgetting that.
God damn it.
Unless you can find a way to make it look like her skin is falling off without really making her skin fall off.
I can like convince her like of so many things. Like I could probably convince her that unicorns are swimming in our pool.
There's no way you're going to get latex on that child's face again. She won't allow it.
I don't think I could convince her to put the liquid latex on to be a zombie again.
No.
I got to work on that. Maybe if I, but I bet if I did the zombie thing again, if I did all the, like, I bet she'd be like, oh, I want to do that too.
Like she may want to, but she's not going to if it hurts. She's a bigger weenie than you are, and you're the biggest weenie I know.
That's nice.
As far as pain level goes.
I don't know if it does. I don't know if there's any way around it. I suppose if you like, you could like really, you know, soak. I don't know. Maybe there's a makeup person that could give me some tips on that. When you put the liquid latex on your face to get it off, is there a trick to not make it It's not super painful, but it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's the chemicals just reacting with her skin.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not opposed to doing it other than the fact that it seemed to react to her.
Like after the fact, like reddening the skin is what you're saying?
Or? Yeah. Like, okay. I wonder how much it felt uncomfortable when she had it on, like if it was irritating her skin. I don't think it was just the act of taking it off.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Because it's so fun doing the zombie stuff and looking. That was one of my favorite parts of Halloween as a kid. Because I did zombie every year.
Yeah.
And I would get the liquid latex and you put like cotton on your face and you cover it with the latex and it looks like it's bulging. And then you kind of rip it apart a little bit. It looks like your skin's coming off and you bloody it up. It's great fun. It's great fun looking like the dead. And
yeah,
I'm just trying to encourage an innocent 7-year-old to look like a dying corpse.
Right.
For a holiday.
Right.
I mean, I don't see.
No problem.
Halloween. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm sure somebody out there does this for a living with makeup and could give me some tips. So I'd love to hear it. Vaseline? I don't know.
I don't know.
Tell me that. Let's go to our first story. It says, I have always loved stories of the paranormal. I was very happy to discover your podcast a few weeks ago. I've been looking for a source for ghost stories for a while, but I'm new to the podcast game. I'm honestly not even sure how it all works, but I'm very happy that I stumbled upon yours. I've been listening to your show chronologically and I'm up to episode number 43. So if you do use my story, I probably won't know for another year at least. But I'm about to take a road trip, so I'll be knocking out quite a few episodes. I think you'd have to literally be on the road listening to our show now for like a couple months straight. Literally. To catch up.
I don't know how many hours, how many thousands of hours.
I don't know. But in 2030, when you get to the episode, let me know. I consider myself open to the possibility of a paranormal interacting with our world, but I'm definitely a skeptic and used to seek out opportunities to explore in the hopes I would have an experience that offered proof of an afterlife, or at least a connection between this life and the next, because I do believe there's something after this. I even went on a weekend ghost hunt about 10 years ago with a paranormal investigative group in North Carolina, where I was living at the time. Nothing happened other than I would consider otherworldly or unexplainable, but it was a fun weekend in a cool old hotel in the mountains of North Carolina. Now, having admitted that I'm a skeptic, I have had a couple of experiences in my life that I can't quite explain. I'm writing today to tell you about the first, which happened probably 25 years ago when I was around 20 years old. But I must back up even more to give you some context. I have a group of four friends, including me, who graduated high school together and are still close. When we were teens, we spent a lot of time at each other's homes having sleepovers and just hanging out. One of my friends, let's call her Sarah, and her family lived in an older family home, and Sarah swore that the house was haunted, or at least that she would see things. Now, I do believe that Sarah is sensitive to the other side, but I've known her all my life and also know that she liked to play pranks when we were growing up. She once had me convinced that she was born in Tennessee and lived there until she was five. She thought it was hilarious that I believed her since we're 2 weeks apart in birth and have known each other since the day she was born. I just like to think I'm just a good friend, haha, who wanted to be trusting. More likely I was gullible, but oh well. Anyway, she would tell us about times that she saw this one apparition. He was an adult male, tall and slender, and he always wore a black tuxedo and a red bow tie. She'd only see brief glimpses of him, kind of peripherally. At least that's how it sounded. We talked about him so much and looked for him so much in mirrors, shadows, the hallway, that we just began referring to him as the man in the black tuxedo and red bow tie. I know, way too long. Our other two friends and I always played along, but I was always skeptical because of Sarah's tendency to enjoy getting one over on us. Among other times she claimed to have seen him, once was as she was waking up. She was asleep in her bed and I'd lean over to wake her up, and she swore that when she opened her eyes she didn't see me, but instead saw the man in the black tuxedo and the red bow tie. She still swears to this day. I was a skeptic even then, so I just pushed it aside. Our lives went on. We graduated, went to college, didn't see each other as often. When we would talk on the phone and reminisce, the tuxedo man would usually come up, but I don't recall her ever telling me she'd seen him again. By the way, she also had no idea who he was. We would ask her parents and sisters about him, and no one had any idea who might still be hanging around. Fast forward to the mid-90s, we were 20 or 21 and lived about an hour apart. One morning I was startled awake, opened my eyes quickly, and found myself staring into a blank, featureless face of a man with dark hair. He was wearing a black suit and red bow tie. He was just a few inches from my face, as though he was bent over looking at me. I yelped a small scream and the vision dissipated, fading away. After I caught my breath, I thought to myself, no way, that just had to be the remnant of a dream. I looked over at the alarm clock on my bedside table and noted it was exactly 5:30 a.m. I remembered feeling like the breath had been knocked out of me, but eventually I was able to quiet my nerves and go back to sleep. The next week, I was in Sarahstown, our hometown, and we met for lunch. She was still living at her home with her parents, and I'd intentionally not said anything to her about my early morning vision because, one, I was certain that the man in black, the black tuxedo and red bow tie, had just ended up in my dreams for some reason, and what I'd seen was the fading image from the dream since I'd awakened so quickly, and two, if Sarah said that she'd seen him recently, too, I would have been sure I could have believed her. All that the rest of us had regarding evidence of this existence up to this point was her word. None of us had ever seen him. As we were eating lunch, Sarah said, oh, by the way, guess who I saw the other day? I asked who, and she told me she'd seen our ghost. She woke up to go to the restroom early one morning, and as she began walking down the hall to the bathroom, he crossed the hall in front of her, then disappeared. I asked her when this happened, and it had been the same morning I'd been startled awake. The time? 5:30 a.m. Rather than believing I saw a ghost, especially in another town and in my house, not the one he supposedly haunted, I wondered if it isn't a case of telepathy. As I mentioned, Sarah has always been sensitive. I don't think I'd call her a medium, but she had other experiences throughout our lives, corroborated by family and things she wouldn't joke about, that have always led me to believe that she senses and feels and sometimes sees things that most of us can't and don't. So I'm more inclined to believe that she somehow projected her sighting of the tuxedo man to me, and it woke me up. It would make sense that she thought of me when she saw him, since we had always talked about him. And of the other three of us, I was the one most intrigued by the possibility of spirit sightings. For the record, Sarah now lives in the house next door to her childhood home, and she said that she hasn't seen the man in the black tuxedo and red bow tie since the last experience we shared in 94 or 95. I'd love to hear your thoughts and a quick question. Are listeners notified when their stories are shared? If you do share mine, I won't know for a very long time. Haha. You guys are awesome, super prolific, and I got a lot of catching up to do. I feel like this ended up being a lot longer than planned. Thanks for the opportunity to share my story. I hope it all made sense. Thanks for the program. Typically we don't notify folks when we do use the story because sometimes it's very fluctuating as to what episode something ends up landing on. I may plan for a story in one episode and it gets bumped to another or moved indefinitely ahead to the next planning of episodes, so it's very difficult to say here's the date your story is going to air, other than if you submit it, we will at some time take a look and consider it for use.
There you go.
So
I don't know how you can still be very skeptical of the man in the black tuxedo with the red bow tie, because if you and your friend are seeing this person and you're seeing it a lot when you're awake and when you're dreaming, this is not, it's not just an idea.
Yeah.
It's something that's there.
It's real.
Yeah.
Very real. And I mean, I wonder why it stopped.
I don't know.
That suddenly it just stops for all of them. Is it one of those things where it's, you know, the teenagers and you sometimes more paranormal things happen around them or I don't know.
I don't know.
It's going to grow out of it. I don't know how you grow out of an entity.
I don't know, a lot of times when things are going and they're pretty steady and you can almost pinpoint to the time, like they said, 5:30 a.m., why then it just stops.
I wonder if there's more to the story that she doesn't even know about with her friend Sarah that's been seeing and kind of like the conduit for a lot of this. If there's more to her side of the story that she never shared with anybody as to also why it stopped.
That could be.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one says, this story is about my friend Trevor and his dad, who was in the military. And his dad's dad was in the military, so he ended up doing it as well. He went there and constantly complained about it because he really didn't want to do it. He didn't want to be a disappointment to them. I recall him going through basic training where he was in great spirits, just sort of like in high school, like a high school hero. So basic training wasn't a problem, but he hated going to Georgia for basic. He talked before he got deployed, and he was worried because he got sent overseas. We were sending letters, and he still found ways to call the house. I knew he hated every moment of it, but I would always encourage him to keep doing his best. The main thing he complained about was this rumor that people in the military, or even people who go to jail, often get home and their girlfriends find someone else. He was lucky. She remained loyal to him. So when he got back in the States, the first thing he did was propose to her. He missed her while he did his 4 or 5 years. I'm not completely sure how long. I had to travel to his place to see him, not just to attend the wedding, but they had a baby shower before the wedding. His fiance wasn't showing before the wedding, but we all got to hang out. They were doing well, but this was around Georgia, so he decided to live there instead of Wisconsin, and he planned to stay there. They have had this thing mentioned called the GI Bill or something along those lines where you buy a house and it removes the tax fees. Houses there were more economically friendly, so even his family thought it would be a better idea. Getting married, having a kid on the way, it all makes sense. It's crazy because his wife was skinny. She didn't look pregnant for months after the wedding, and I don't think she looked like she was showing until months after the wedding. We even joked how small she was, where she said she would give birth to a Tylenol. She was that skinny. They were in apartments because the house took time to get, and during the baby shower, most of the stuff we got needed to be assembled. It was like IKEA stuff, so when we got them moved in, we had to take them apart just to fit them in our cars. It was just silly. Now, I must mention that they talk about a thing called stolen or false valor, meaning that people in the military don't make things up. He served and can't lie about stuff. We got them involved in, and then we didn't hear much about them. I got them moved in, rather, and didn't hear much about them. We didn't hear much about them for a few years, but it was for a reason. I had a new phone, moved a few times, and assumed it was an excuse for them, but that wasn't the case. He had a situation with his house. He saw a shadow person in the house. I guess I could keep it would keep occurring for a few months and ignored it. His wife wanted to move even before his son was born. To make it worse, his neighbors were telling him about it, saying all the stuff about the house being haunted, and it only bothered him. He didn't want to go anywhere, and he's already experienced some harsh times while in the military. So there were nights where his wife said that she saw shadows in the house. He told her it was nothing and that she was making things up. It wasn't until he saw it a few times where it would show up and disappear out of nowhere. It was when he took it more seriously. So one night he saw the shadow figure up the stairs, and he got close to it. He ran up to it, and he claimed it was some towering figure, like tall, but he didn't care. And punched at it in the air and put holes in his own walls to damage what he saw. He even had pictures of the holes to prove it. I knew he had a Napoleon complex. I mentioned he was short, but this shadow person no longer was seen after it happened. He mentioned that he's religious and how he's not afraid of it, but even after I talked to him about things, he specifically said that shadow people can only scratch you. So they're basically like owning a cat, and he's not afraid of them. He saw it, and he wasn't afraid. It hasn't shown up since, and they've lived there over 3 years now, and it made me think nobody approached these shadows. I find it a little bit funny, but to be honest, I don't know if I would do anything like that myself. I just found it very interesting. He basically told me nobody on this planet will ever harm my wife or child. I have nothing but respect for him. Also, knowing that concept about stolen or false valor, military people can't lie, that's something I really admire as well, and he tells his military buddies about this experience. So anyhow, thanks for reading this. Still loving the show. I'm looking forward to the next Halloween. I hope things are going well. Go Packers and fuck the Dallas Cowboys. Thoughts?
So you should try and beat the shit out of Shadow Person, and maybe it'll leave you alone.
That's apparently what worked.
I don't know that that's always going to work. I mean, it worked this time, but I don't know that that's really a good idea. You could easily make it mad and stir it up.
What I'm guessing is it was a shadow person that was just an ordinary human being in life and happened to be seen. And when, oh shit, I'm really disturbing this guy and really scaring him. I didn't mean to do that. I'm going to really be more vigilant and not show up anymore.
Yeah.
And seeing that, you know, it's like he's got a wife and kids, and I didn't mean to scare anybody. My bad. Mm-hmm. And some people will just go out loud and say, please don't scare us. Please don't show up. And then everything calms down. He took the more aggressive route. And I think maybe the shadow person got the hint and is well-intentioned. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of there. Like, I didn't mean that. Sorry. you know, right. Knowing that he's never going to be just asked to leave them alone, just deciding I got the message.
But I think if you just ask it to go, sometimes that works.
Probably would have been just as effective and less damaging to the walls.
Yeah.
At the same time. Thanks for sharing the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online.
So hi. When I was younger, I got moved in with my aunt and uncle for a little while. I remember first time walking in that house, I told them, I was like, something's not right here. I was like, it's just so dark. It's so depressing. This doesn't feel like home. And they was like, oh, well, you'll get used to it. So time went on, and it got to the point where I could not stand to be in a room by myself. And they would always ask me why, and I was like, because there's a man in here, and he wants to hurt me, legitimately wants to hurt me. Because I remember seeing him, and it was this foul, sulfur, rotten flesh smell. Like, it would gag you. So, they didn't believe me. And one night, I remember hearing a baby crying. And I went upstairs, and in the corner, I seen this woman. She had black hair, blue eyes. She didn't look scary. She looked like a person like me and you. And I remember kneeling down next to her, and I asked her what was wrong. And she just looks up at the doorway behind me and instantly gets terrified. Well, I see this black shadow mass. Like, it didn't have a shape, but it was a mass. And I remember telling whatever it was to get away. He was not welcome in my house, to get away. Well, about this time, he starts rushing at me. So my first instinct, it wasn't to get up and run. It was to guard this woman and her baby from whatever was trying to hurt them. So I crouched down in front of them, and I stood there. And I was like, you're not getting this woman and this baby without getting through me. I was only like 8 or 9 at the time, so I didn't know what I thought I was going to do. But I said, you're not getting this woman or this baby without getting through me. I said, so you're going to have to hurt me first. Well, it just vanishes. I told my aunt and my uncle about it. And long story short, there was a guy who owed a bunch of money to a loan shark. And he was not able to pay it back. So they were going to find him and kill his whole family and then kill him. So he thought the way out of it was to kill his family and then himself. So that's what he did. But he was so angry and so violent toward them, it was almost like he was taking that out on me as a child, because he had those memories of his life state. And they say normally, you know, if a ghost is bad in life, well, if a person is bad in life, they're just as bad, if not worse, as a ghost. So ultimately, I believe that it was the ghost of this guy that had killed his family in order to escape all of his gambling debts that was in the house that I had multiple run-ins with. So that is my ghost experience. Thank you for listening. Bye.
I could see that. I think she's right. You know, he may have associated her as a little girl with his family and those feelings that he had in those last moments.
What is that when you have like the ghosts that associate the living with their family? Is this sense of confusion where you clearly see them, it's not them? Or is it when you're a ghost, is it like you need prescription glasses and you can't see? And it's just,
I don't know.
The confusion.
Right. I don't know. It's hard to know, but it happens a lot. It's like the other story, in the episode we just recorded before this one, mm-hmm. where it was the lady that was watching the little boy while he was taking a bath because she, I guess, associated him with her son, who was the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like that.
There was a town I know a long time ago.
Okay, here you go. This is bullshit.
Why do you think that?
Because you have this look like you're about to tell a big story. That's not
no,
right.
There was this family called the Davis family, and they moved into this town called Lucifer Falls.
Okay.
A long time ago. And there was this this person that lived in the town that came back quite a bit as a spirit. His name was Boogity. And
I knew that this was going to not be a true story.
And he tried, he ended up taking on the mom of the Davis family as his wife. He was confused. He thought it was his wife that was came. And they made a movie about it, a documentary called The Bride of Boogity.
So this is a Disney Halloween-ish movie that's like your favorite and it's like very hard to find.
Yeah. It was on The Wonderful World of Disney in about 1986. Mm-hmm. Sunday night. In case you missed it, check your DVR. Just look back in time to 86 on Sunday night on ABC. Let's see if you found the wonder. Would it have been? It wouldn't have been ABC at that because they weren't connected.
Is it still your favorite Halloween movie?
I haven't seen them in so many years. I don't even know. I want to watch. It's hard to watch them because it's you know, the only quality versions that are out there have been like recorded off of somebody's VCR, and it's difficult. Anytime I try to watch them with the kids don't get into them. So I don't know. I just got to sit down and watch them.
That was the best quality I could find.
I know
when I found it,
and that's I think it's still the best that's out there. As far as I don't know if there's anything better. I don't know. There was Boogity, and there was Mr. Boogity, and there was Bride of Boogity was the sequel.
Okay,
it was good enough. They made part two.
Yeah,
but still not good enough for it to ever have been recreated or like sent to DVD or anything.
Nope.
Over the years, I think it's been played once or twice on like FearNet. Or something
really?
Over the years. So I think somebody, because if I recall right, I think it is on like YouTube or something now with a much better quality version. It's still, you know, standard def. Uh-huh. They've never, you know, upgraded it, but there's a handful of people who know this movie. They've referenced it. They've emailed me like, you remember that movie? Yes, I do. It was great. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us. Sign number one, you're moving into a bad neighborhood, is when it's called Lucifer Falls. That's just...
Yeah.
It's kind of an omen, if you will. Hi.
Hi, I actually just called. It's me again. I was nervous, I don't know, and scared a little bit, I'm not gonna lie. She's laughing at me because I'm tearing and shit. But whatever. Anyway. Okay, so it's about the Hat Man. I'm sure everyone, you've heard of it, everyone's heard of it. But here's my story. I've actually have a couple, but I'm only going to say one because I don't know how long this thing goes. All right. So, all right. Damn, there's literally like so many, okay. I'll do the one I used to, all right. So I used to live in a trailer, upstate Deposit, New York. It was me, my brother, my older brother, my mom, just the three of us. One day on our way to school, you know, you get up, you get dressed, you get ready, whatever. Me and my brother woke up, we got dressed, all back the bathroom and all the rooms were to the back of the trailer. Obviously the front door was in the front of the trailer. So like, but it's a hallway. So we couldn't see like the front door or like the living room area really until we like got done with the room, got done with the bathroom and ready to honestly go out the door unless we got breakfast or whatever. But this day we just didn't get breakfast. There probably wasn't breakfast, to be honest. So I walk out the room. As I walk out the room and I come around the corner of the hallway, like I said to you, the front door is a trailer. So I come out the corner of the room. My front door was already open, ready for us to leave, because I think either one of us already opened it or whatever, and there was just a screen door. I walk out and I see him. I see a big-ass, tall shadow figure. You can see his hat. You can see the trench coat, and he's just standing there. I immediately freeze and start crying, like start tearing. I scream for my brother. His name's Shaquan. Shaquan! Shaquan! He doesn't believe in ghosts. He doesn't believe in none of this at this point. And I don't really know how old we were. I think we were in middle school. But regardless of that, I scream his name. He comes out. He comes out, and he freezes. Once he freezes and is staring at the door like I'm staring at, we both jump on the couch and put the pillows over our face. You know, I'm tearing still. I'm like, bro, do you really see that? You know what I'm saying? I'm panicking at this point. I'm like, do you really see that? Do you really see that? He's like, yes, yes. Like, he's scared. So me and him are just next to each other behind the pillow staring at this thing. Now we're screaming for our mom. Mom, mom, mom. She comes out. We end up missing the bus, by the way. But she comes out. She doesn't see anything. It just... I guess, disappeared. I don't really recall from then, you know what I'm saying, exactly how they even got out of our sight, but he just disappeared. My mom never believed me, you know, and that's all my story.
There you go.
Okay. I've heard of the Hat Man, and it seems like since he had quite a few stories to pick from, that he sees Hat Man, you know, multiple times. And a lot of people say if you've seen it, you see it more than once.
Why do you think that is the same one just lingering around?
I think it's a sensitivity level.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's there or it's not there, then you start to realize it,
mm-hmm.
hopefully over time, that that's you.
Yeah.
That you have that ability.
Right.
If you will.
Right.
Thanks for sharing the experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi. Let's hear your story.
Hi. This is Caitlin. I have two different stories, so I thought I'd tell them both, and you can pick and choose, see which one you like. The first one is from my grandmother's grandma, and we're from an area in Kentucky, and my grandmother's grandma didn't really believe much in the paranormal and stuff, and in Kentucky, we have this legend about a black panther in the woods, and when you go out in the woods, supposedly there's this black panther lurking, and they would take out people and all that good stuff. Well, my grandmother's grandma would play in the woods. They'd go out, gather some friends, play by the creek, and just make a day of it, have fun with it. And my grandmother's grandma always wore ribbons in her hair, always. And they were out at the creek one day, just playing, all hanging out, her and her friends and stuff like that. And they said they heard this thing that sounded like a woman, high-pitched screaming woman, like going throughout the whole woods. So of course they got freaked out and they started to run. And one of the branches had caught the ribbon and threw it onto the ground. Well, then after they lost that ribbon, they just said, oh, well, we'll get it tomorrow. It's fine. And then they just kept running and went all the way home. Well, then the next morning, my grandma's grandmother woke up and was like, okay, we need to go back and get the ribbon that had fell out of my hair. And they went back, and when they found the ribbon, it was shredded to pieces, like a bunch of claw marks had just went through it and shredded it all over the place. So that's the first story. I thought that one was pretty cool. And then the second story is based with me and my papaw. I've always been able to see things. I would call myself a clairvoyant, and but this one is probably the most scariest one I had ever seen before. And I was with my papaw. He had picked me up from a basketball game, and to show how much this like affected me, I remember everything. The moon was full. I just came from the basketball game. My number was 1 on my jersey. Our jerseys was blue and white. I was on the Wildcats team. I got a 4-piece chicken nugget from Wendy's. I mean, I remember everything. And he drove this old pool van, and we would park it on the side of our house. Well, he parked it, and my side was facing the house. So I get out of the car, or the van, sorry, and I look over, and I noticed a shadow, and I was like, well, maybe it's a cat. And I kept looking for a cat, and there was nothing there. And I kept looking at it, and it literally looked like this shadow demon type thing. It had like an arched back, and it had like porcupine looking spines down its back, and it had the horns, and it had like blacked out eyes and these long claws on not only its hands, but its feet. And I remember staring at it, and I was freaking out. It had a tail and everything. And I was like, what the heck is that? And then I kept staring at it, of course, and it turned around and looks at me. And that's when I flipped. I mean, I slammed my little body up against that van. I was scared to death. And as soon as it looked at me, it literally ran to the front of the house. Now, this is how I knew it wasn't a cat. Because when a shadow hits the ground, it usually runs onto the ground. But this shadow literally curved over onto the house, the front of the house. It did not hit the ground whatsoever. There was no shadow that went from the wall to the ground. It just literally curved around the house. And that was probably one of the scariest experiences I ever had as a kid. But thanks for letting me share my story, and I hope you pick one of these two stories, or both if you want to. Thanks.
I think it's interesting about the legend of the animal in the woods, the Black Panther in this case. It's like most places that have woods have a legend of something that lives in the woods and eats people or children or things like that.
They do. And the fact that she was able to see it, and you know, the legend became real.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
There's a reason these areas have legends. There's something there.
But I think what we also need to remember is that these legendary creatures that are out there need homes.
Oh, don't do this. Don't turn it. Oh,
they need homes in our hearts and in our lives. Even if they have horns. Even if they're flesh, human flesh eating creatures. They need love.
So this is like a adopt and spay and neuter your demon in the woods.
I'm Sarah McLachlan reminding you to de-demon your demonic pets.
This is awful.
It's like spay or neutering, but you're getting the devil out of the demonic wood creatures.
I don't know how you found this, but jeez.
In the yard.
No, don't. I don't know what's worse, you singing or playing it.
Would you like me to sing someone other than Sarah McLachlan?
No, I don't like it when you sing on the show.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of people that would disagree with that statement. It's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. You sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com.
I'm trying to make it stop.
Here we go. Okay.
Jeez.
Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Remember to de-demonize your demonic legendary creatures. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.